Many have experienced an hour of prayer. Yeah, me too. Some of us have. Some people pray for the day. Can you imagine like 6 to 6 just praying 12 hours in prayer? How does someone do that? How does someone pray for 5 minutes? I mean, what is prayer? Because that's what we're going to look at this morning. Last week, we looked at being a disciple and what was involved with being a disciple of Christ. A disciple is simply a follower. And, you know, the closing sentence that came to my mind that was not in the notes was, until we come to Jesus, we cannot and will not be able to serve Him and follow Him. And I said these words, it begins with prayer. I agree with you, Donna. Thank you again, Ruth, for leading a sweet time of prayer. And maybe as a church, we could pray for an hour sometimes. Thursday evenings, we make it almost 45 minutes, but that's not prayer. That's testimony and request, and we pray for 10 to 12 minutes through the course of 45 minutes to an hour. But to pray, to cry out to God for an hour, how do we do that? Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your inspirations. I thank you for the hymn writers that put pen to paper and ask hard questions that we can celebrate and praise you. God, help us to renew our mind and our thinking that we would not be focused on you for an hour, but for our life. Until you come again or call us home, let us be focused on you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So just to keep you up to date, if you haven't been here for a while or if you are visiting, we have a wasp nest somewhere in the sanctuary. And it's been my experience that when we get to a point in the sermon where it really needs to be listened to and it really is going to make a difference and it really hits home, that's when a distraction comes. So if by chance, Ron, well done at lovingly removing the wasps, but just as you see them, would you just pray against them? Pray for me, pray for ourselves. How fitting a transition that God would choose to use wasps. Because the opening sentence to my delivery today is, we pray because it makes a difference. We pray because what has had us deceived is removed. That's why we pray. I'm sure you know, or at least have heard the lyric, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And for those of us that sing that from our heart, have a new connection with God. They believe in someone greater than this world has to offer. Is that you, church? We say we believe in God. We know the things to do, but as lovingly as I can, are we? Are we praying without ceasing? Are we thankful? Or are we just coming with our armload of requests, expecting Jesus to answer our beck and call? We pray because we believe God can do what the Bible says God can do. Yes, church?
Yes.
Yes. We pray because it makes a difference in the outcome of our daily life. We pray because we're willing to take an example from Jesus Christ, who prayed constantly and fervently. I talked with a pastor friend of mine this past, I think it was this week, maybe last week. And I said, you know, Jesus was a parrot. He only said what he heard his Father say. That's intimacy. He only did what he saw his Father do. Is that how we live our life? We don't pray in order to master the art of prayer with eloquent words and beautiful sentence structure. We pray to acknowledge that we're not on this journey called life on our own. Thank you, Jesus. I agree 200%. As followers of Christ, we have come to understand that Jesus Christ, who showed us how to pray, now prays for us and with us. Do you believe that, church? Because of this, we who believe have the assurance that simple prayers like, Lord, save me, and words like thank you are great prayers. Thank you, Jesus, is a great prayer, especially if you're in a near miss on the road or in a fire and you're spared. Thank you, Jesus. How is it then when you ask just about anyone on the planet, even good Christian people, how their prayer life is? The response seems to be, could be better. I know I should, but why is that? Here's what stands out to me. People pray. Surveys upon surveys say that 80% of Americans pray. But do they know what prayer is? So instead of relying on surveys and books where doctors with PhDs offer insight, let's turn to God's Word and see what it has to say about prayer. Would you agree that it makes sense to seek God's definition of prayer? Mm-hmm. So Psalm 62, 5 through 8, sets the stage. I don't know that you have to follow along, but it's good that you do. In this psalm, David, inspired by God, says, my soul. He says, the core of my being, that's his soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock and my refuge. So clearly, David's blinders have come off at this point. He gets it because he gives us these instructions in verse 8. And these are the instructions we need to get today. Trust in him at all times, you people. You people of God, trust in him at all times. For God is our refuge. He's my hiding place. He's where I get restored. He's where I get strength from. Pouring our heart out to God is a clear and simple direction given by this man, King David, a man who prayed often and whose prayers were meaningful and effective. His prayers made a difference. Many of the Psalms can be adopted to become effective prayers to get us through times of trial, especially in times of trial. I looked up some. This is only five. You might want to write them down so when you're going through life and it gets tough, or you feel like everybody's up against you, or you just don't feel you have hope, check out any of these five. Psalm 71. Psalm 121, we want to write these down and just check them out. Psalm 13. Psalm 63, this is good food. Psalm 30. These are equipping psalms that can serve as your prayer, your request, your accolade to God. In their time of need, the Bible tells of people of God crying out to him over and over again, proving that prayer is not some kind of ritual to conform to or some sort of duty that has to be carried out. It's not something to be offered from rote memory, repeated over and over every Sunday morning. Prayer is, at its simplest definition, a conversation. That's what prayer is. It's your own personal, intimate line of communication with the God of the universe. Through prayer, we hold conversations with our holy and loving God in the same way a son or a daughter would hold a conversation with their earthly father. Now, we have access to pour out our hearts to God. Prayer is our opportunity and privilege to share our innermost thoughts, our fears, our dreams, and so much more with Him. How can you pray for an hour? How can you pray for 5 minutes? Make your request, dream a little, and talk to God. Through these conversations, we get to know our spiritual Father, just like we would get to know our earthly physical problem. But this raises an issue. Some in the world don't have this kind of communication or this relationship with their Father. For me, after I turned 12 years of age, I didn't really have a relationship with my dad. No worries. We can look to our friendships to teach us about talking to God. When you invite a friend over to the house, you expect to have normal conversations with them, yes? I mean, certainly there might be a time where we get emotional, but it would be a proper emotion. And you might cry. You might raise your voice for a time to get your point across. But it wouldn't be in such a way that the neighbors would think, what in the world is going on next door? We had neighbors for a time that I believe knew and loved God. But when they were in church or when they prayed at home, it was like he couldn't hear. Have you ever experienced those? Oh, Mr. Fox, oh, come down, we ain't clean. Is that how we talk to our friends? Why would our conversation with the Lord be any different than talking with our close friends or family members? We should be able to talk to God in the same way as our friends and family. And this becomes abundantly clear if you imagine your friends talking to you in the way they talk to God. Assuming they pray, what would that be like? What would your response be if a friend invited you to hang out with a group of people and the invitation you received read like this? And of course, you could fill your name in, but I'm using mine. James, I'd be blessed if you would spend time at our gathering. James, we would benefit so much from your being there because, James, you bring so much with you. And, well, James, time goes by so fast. James, selfishly, I enjoy our time with you. If you could, James, would you please save the date? Please let me know, James, as soon as possible. Why is it sometimes prayers are prayed in such a way as though it seems we have to hold God's attention? God, Father this, Father this, Father if I, Father if we, Father, Father, in your name, Father, amen. Is that how we talk to one another? Ron, I'd really like you to come to my house, Ron, because I like hanging out with you. Ron, over here, Ron. When we pray, God is attentive to our plea. He's vitally interested in every aspect of our life. We don't have to hold his attention. So what else can we learn from our friendships? Well, sometimes our friendships become strange. become strained when a friend is fearful to talk to us. Do you ever have that awkwardness? Something causes an interruption. Maybe they weren't perfect friends. Clearly, this point needs to get across because the distraction is great. So let's refocus our attention up here. If you had a friend that was scared to talk to you, you'd be hard-pressed to have a conversation, if any at all, if they lived one way while they were around you and lived a completely different way when you were not present. So as Christians, we never find ourselves in that position, right? You're not me. Maybe you've experienced friends who only talk to you when they need a favor. Otherwise, you rarely hear from them. If or when you do, it's only a request. Can I borrow your car? Can I give your name out? Would you be a reference for my new job? I mean, no doubt you'd want to help for a time, but being taken advantage long enough, your friendship might fall apart because you know your friend is only interested in the relationship for what they can get out of you. But we don't pray like that, right? As followers of Christ, we don't come to God only to have our wish list fulfilled. We offer prayers of thanksgiving and praise. When we pray, we believe we're tapping into the power source that'll make a difference in our request. Then we come to Him seeking for guidance and wisdom and healing for ourselves and for our friends. There's an order to worship and praise God. When we pray, we don't just pray to tick the box on our list of things to do today. Imagine your friends talking to you using some memorized dialect from their childhood. Your conversation might go like this. How are you doing today? Oh, I'm doing well. How are you doing today? Well, I'm doing well. How are you doing? If your conversation was so shallow, and this is how it went on day after day, there was no depth to your conversation. Nobody'd blame you for not communicating with your friend. And then at the other extreme, some people are all about quantity instead of quality. Not caring what they're saying, just rambling random thoughts, hoping to have an eloquent delivery. But at the end of the day, the relationship would be shallow and empty. Prayer's not just something we do. We are intentional and expectant when we pray, aren't we? We're praying for fertilization and God will double down. I believe God loves you and He's equipping you to be a really cool family. And I'm looking forward to walking with you, and we as a church will pray with and for you. Why? Because we selfishly want to say, God, you're so cool. We got people praying for people with cancer. And what is it? The cancer's gone. Now, Jesus, I ask that these bees would be gone in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that on this planet there are exterminators, and I pray that you would instill three or four of us to call the same exterminator so that they know to come this week and abolish these things so we can be focused on you. God, light these bees on a windowsill and let them not be a distraction from this moment forward. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I just prayed intentionally, and I expect God to remove the bees. Will you join me in that and be ready to praise Him when you don't see the bees anymore? Thank you, Jesus. If we're going to have a good, strong, enduring relationship with a friend, what must we do? Be with them. Yes? Hang out with them. We don't get to know anyone without spending time with them. And we don't get to know someone based on someone else's experience or opinion. He's a really nice guy. Well, I guess so. He's a really nice guy. You should hang out with him. Hang out with them. God is really cool. You should hang out with them. How do you hang out with God? There's a crazy man in the front of some church in Burnville. He says, read your Bible. Pray. That's how we hang out with God. Obviously, people don't talk the way I just spent entirely too much time explaining. But the point is, God doesn't want us to talk to him in that way either. From the heart. Dream big. Color outside the lines. He wants to build a relationship and an enduring friendship with you. And that's done through a natural conversation and the proper attitude and respect. As we learn to do this, we start getting to know God, just like our relationships with our friends and our families. How many times have we had a preconceived notion about someone that was blown apart after we spent time hanging out with them? Again, I will interact with you. Ask me after the service what I'm talking about with a relationship. I had this personal experience. I'll share it with you. You start the conversation. I'll talk with you. I ask you every week, and every week it's like, hey, let's get to the coffee. I want to talk with you. I want to get to know you. And I'm willing to share my life experiences with you if they help impact the way you live your life. Prayer works the same way. When we come to God with our specific requests, we have God's promise that our prayers are not in vain. We're not vain babbling. We're making our request. We're giving our praise. Even if we don't receive specifically what we ask for, I hope you still pray. In Matthew 6, 5 through 8, Jesus tells us a good format for prayer. I'm not sure how many people, and I don't believe you have to, go to the certain place, take a certain position, speak in a certain dialect. This is what Jesus says. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on street corners to be seen by others. Jesus says, truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, listen, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Yes. Romans 8, 26 and 7 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness because we don't know what we ought to pray for. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for God's people. That's us! In accordance with God's will. Church, read Romans 8. This week, read Romans 8. I'm just saying, it's good for the soul, the core of your being. God has promised that when we ask for things that are in accordance with his will, he will give us what we ask for. Don't take my word for it. This is what 1 John 5, 14 and 15 says. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything in accordance to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him. Abolish the cancer. Make my seed fertile. Let me carry to term. Thank you, Jesus, for twins. How real is our God? We see it. This is why we pray. Sometimes he delays his answer but it is according to His wisdom and for our benefit. Thank you, Jesus, for not answering my prayers. Because if He answered what I spoke, not a good thing. In these situations, when we don't get what we want, we need to be persistent and diligent in prayer. In Luke 18, 1 through 8, just listen to these words. Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. There was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, "Grant me justice against my adversary." For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says, and I will not bring about just and will not get that right, James, and will not God bring about justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night?" We have to take an action. We have to be assertive. Will He keep putting them off? I tell you, He will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Will He find you in your prayer closet? Will He find you uttering words while you drive down the road? Prayer should not be seen as our means of getting God to do our will on earth, but rather as a means of seeing His will accomplished on earth. Just saying a prayer, especially one with an indifferent mindset, doesn't mean God will hear and answer. If, however, you are sincerely seeking out God, and He doesn't answer your prayers, or it seems as though He hasn't, Jesus says, don't give up. I'm saying don't give up. Pray until something happens. It's an acronym I'm taking the rest of my life. It's powerful. Push. Push your way through whatever it is. Push. Pray until something happens. P-U. S-H. Truthfully, the only prayer that remains unanswered is the one not offered. That's why the true follower of Christ prays. We pray because it has a lasting impact on our eternity. It makes a difference in the outcome of our daily life. When you choose to step over the line, "I have stepped over the line, the decision has made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ." That's what we talked about last week. You have Holy Spirit power to impact your life and the lives of you around you. Do you believe that, church? We pray with power. The choice is completely up to you. And you know I always ask a question, so here's the question. What is keeping you from tapping in to that power source? For 5 minutes. That's too long. For 1 minute. Next week we're going to look at it, giving God 2 minutes of our week. 2 minutes of our day. Plan to be here and bring two or three friends. If you want to be edgy, bring an enemy. Because God can do a work. I believe it. And I hope you do too. Father, we thank You for the time that we get to spend in Your Word. I thank You that Your words have power. And you've chosen me for such a time as this to proclaim this message, and I pray that it landed on fertile soil. That the blinders, the scales would be removed, that we would see and know that you are God. And in you we have life, and it abundantly, and your word tells us to live it to the full. Go before us as we go our separate ways this week. I pray that we would actively seek to see your hand moving in and through our lives. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.